Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream. Right in there and having a good sniff around the Monday Scrum.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Monday Scrum, joined as always by Benji Marshall and Brent Reed.
Yo,
another week of footy. How was the weekend?
I like that one. Yo.
Yo. Yeah. That's what the peeps are saying.
It's gotten young.
Peeps, what, your kids?
LMFAO.
Showing your age, yeah. I had a great Sunday. I was on the sideline with the great Brent Reed down in
Wollongong. Yeah, it was a great time, wasn't it? It was Benj.
And you know what? This is the second time you've delivered coffees this week, I saw.
I did. I was the coffee lady for the game yesterday. Delivered one to...
Well, it was my coffee.
And she just bought you one now. What do you want?
Good point. I've got one for Jake Duke, got one for Freddie. Got one for the great Ronnie, our floor manager, and I forgot to ask you.
Oh, wow.
And just quietly, you're two shouts behind.
Two behind. Emma or you?
Both of us.
I bought one for Justin Pascoe as well, just a bit of suck up to the Tigers in case, you know, he wants to give us any information.
He looked quite relaxed. He looked quite relaxed, didn't he, Justin?
Quite tanned. What does that mean?
Oh, I don't know. He's been on holidays, hasn't he?
I thought you were implying something.
Yeah.
Did you? Mm. I don't know. I'm confused.
Good on him. Hope he had a good holiday.
He did. Yeah.
I tell you who didn't have a good day yesterday. The poor old Newcastle Knights absolutely thumped by the Melbourne Storm at 50 points to 2. And it's been a pretty tough, I guess, 6 weeks for them now. In their last three home games, they have lost 119 to 10.
Ouch.
Yeah. Ouch. What did we make of yesterday's performance?
Well, yesterday was a tough one. And they're playing against the red-hot form team of the competition that scored 70 points the week before against the Warriors and then come out and scored 50. And I felt sorry for them that Melbourne took the 2 to make it 50. Because as soon as it crosses the 50 mark, everyone goes, oh, they scored 50.
And then, you know what happens?
48 sounds a little bit different.
You know what happens with when it hits 50?
Oh, apparently you can't win the comp.
Apparently.
I heard the commentators going on about it. The curse. Oh, if you get 50, you can't win. Yeah. That's a load of, you know what.
It's tough times up there, though.
It is.
Newcastle, really difficult times. And you know, they had the Kalen Ponga saga going on. They finally resolved that. Hasn't helped them on the footy field. Everyone talked about that being a distraction, affecting the way he and them were playing. Well, he's now resolved. The distraction's removed, but it hasn't helped them get better. And they've got some injuries. I mean, they're missing about 30% of their salary cap, I think. So when you take that into account, it's difficult. But, that's one reason, but they need to be doing better.
Well, Adam O'Brien was asked about that and as to whether or not that is an excuse. Let's take a listen.
When you're down, I think we're up to 13 out of the squad are out, and 8 of them have got 100 games plus. So we've got some key personnel out, which you're bringing young guys in, and sometimes they'll give you 3 or 4 games, and then you need to spell them. And we can't do that. We need to just keep playing. And there's no consequence to poor performance because you can't drop guys, because I can't fill the 24, the sheet that you've got to fill out on Tuesdays. I'm nearly making names up, so... But, it is. No one's going to feel sorry for us, and we don't want that. We don't want people's sympathy. We don't want to be kicked unnecessarily, but we don't want sympathy. We'll fight. We'll get together and we'll fight it. We did it last year.
So some of those names include Jaden Brayley, Mitch Barnett, Lockie Fitzgibbon, Kurt Mann didn't play.
So you feel
it's a legitimate excuse that they just don't have the personnel or haven't over the last few weeks?
It's one excuse. It's one reason, right? I've banged on about this before. You can't win in this comp unless you have a decent spine. It should spend a lot of money on your spine. And their spine is Ponga. They've got a lot of money invested in. Adam Clune, who they bought as a backup to Mitch Pearce before Mitch Pearce went. Jakey Clifford, who started the season really well, but hasn't really fired on all cylinders. And Chris Randall, who's in there to replace Jaden Brayley. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's not an elite spine, Ponga aside. And I think one of the issues is obviously injuries, but also letting Mitch Pearce go in the offseason, not really replacing Pearce.
I think maybe they thought they were going to get Brooks, though.
Brooksy? Yeah. Well, that would have been handy.
Yeah, well, now, absolutely. Exactly.
So Milford can play from round 11 if everything goes to plan.
He's going to help, but they need organisation too, around the park to score points, because last three home games they've scored 10. Mm. But honestly, if you look at their games, right, and you look at who they've played, where did you expect them to come, Reedy, this season? Did you think they were going to be in the top 8?
I didn't have them in the bottom of the bottom eight. Especially when they lost Mitch. I think that was a big – and they let Mitch go – you let your halfback go, your general go, And then they lose Jaden Brayley in the preseason. That's two. That's a half your spine. And they're good. They're not, it's not like they're average players.
I mean, no,
Piercy,
300 gamer.
And Jaden Brayley's a really, he's an elite hooker for me. I mean, he's not in the top two or three, but he's in that upper bracket. So when you lose, and he's their captain.
Yeah, but if you look at the games they've lost, right? So they won their first two, Roosters and Tigers. You'd think, okay, you'd win one of those two. Then they lost to Penrith, Cronulla, Manly, Dragons, Para, Melbourne. That's a pretty tough run.
That's
so
a good run,
out of those games, I probably would only expect them to win one anyway. Yeah. So they're not that far off where we expected them to be. The test is the next 4 weeks. They got Cowboys, Dogs, Broncos, Warriors. If they can get 2-3 out of four of that, they're back. You know what I mean? In expectation terms, because those sides they've played are all at the top of the competition.
Adam O'Brien said, people will think I'm crazy, but I did see a response from the previous week, despite the scoreline.
Yeah.
Did you notice improvements of sorts?
I did. I saw a few things that were better than the last week. I thought they moved quicker around the field defensively, like filled more holes. I thought the week before there was a few soft tries that were like through them, where Melbourne sort of had to work for theirs. Melbourne are just a different team. Right, they grind you down and they wear you down into submission to the point where they're scoring tries off the back of wearing you down, not just bad defense. And I thought they'd, like, listening to even Melbourne talk after the game, they were saying that was a grind for them. And every time they had to go five or six sets before they score. And then they just ran away with it at the end. But they're a great side. Newcastle obviously got a bit of work to do. And I think their number one man has to find a way. And we talked about this the other week, about getting more ball to Ponga, about finding a way to get him isolating defenders and doing what he does best. Because at the moment, all of his carries are kick returns. And they're not putting a lot of pressure on opposition defenses. You know, I'd love to see him two passes wide of the ruck where one of the halves just zings it to him and he's playing a 4-on-3, which he's great at. Or running the footy, attacking positions, not so much kick returns.
Well, he's your one elite player in that spine.
Mm.
He's the guy, I think he had one try assist. He's had one try assist all year, I think that's right, in six games or something. So, you know, you're right, Ben. So they need to find a way to unleash him because at the moment he just seems shackled. And I don't know whether it's because they're just struggling as a footy team or Kalen's personally struggling. He's had a knee problem. He missed a couple of games.
If the personnel are not around him, it's tough for him to do much.
It is hard. Like, it's hard. It's also hard when you're going through a losing patch to find form when you're not dominating oppositions, you know. And the best of Kalen we've seen is when they're on the front foot. And at the moment, they're playing on the back foot. But like I said, Cowboys are going great. They'll be a tough challenge for them. But Dogs, Broncos, Warriors, if they can find something there, it might just spark their season.
Mm. Well, the Dragons are a side that maybe aren't absolutely going gangbusters, but they're still finding a way to win. So it's 3 in a row now, 12-6 over the West Tigers. Freddie, you had a front row seat down at Wynn Stadium in Wollongong. What did you make of the Red V? Another game, yet another week where the Tigers were in it at the death. That's heart attack material.
I thought it was a bit of a stinker of a game though, Em.
Did you?
Fair. Yeah, particularly the last 15 minutes of the first half. I thought the first 20 was pretty good and then the next 15 minutes was pretty average stuff. You know, I think the Dragons did enough to win it. A bit of class with Ben Hunt.
That moment was pivotal when he scored. That was a big moment.
He's such a good player, Ben Hunt.
This is his best season, I reckon.
He was good last year, I thought, Ben.
This start to the season, I reckon, is his best start to the season.
People point to his pay packet and go, he's on too much money. But you know what?
Mm.
I think he's an elite halfback, Ben.
Yeah,
he's a really good footballer.
Also, you put the right people around him too and see what happens. That try to me, you know, I think Gildart rushed out of the line and just missed him. When players like that run the footy, you try and encourage him not to. When you come out of the line and you make him run, he's dangerous, Ben. Mm. But if you hold the line, it's so much easier. You know, but he's going great. The Dragons, for me, are interesting. They won the first one, lost the next four, and the coach was under the pump. Remember a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the Dragons need to find a way. Then they go and win 3 in a row. Now they're 4-4. It's so, that streak for them is great. Like,
things change very quickly.
In terms of the season.
Very easy. You just got to win football games.
Yeah, exactly.
Adam O'Brien wins next week. We'll move on to
Or you just
else.
Say
we, you,
they're,
you.
One of their coaches is going to get the sack and then they come
yeah,
right.
We tell, yeah, Well, Madge
and Hook a few weeks ago, we were talking about those two.
He doesn't talk to me anymore, so he's not going to thank me, but, you know.
Did you speak to Madge after yesterday's?
You know what I love?
I went to the press conference, though.
You know what I love? How it's just your opinion, but it matters heaps to everyone.
I know. Doesn't mean anything.
Keeps the narrative going, doesn't it?
So I wish my wife paid as much attention to my opinion as what some of the coaches do.
She won't even be listening.
So who's under the – which coach? So Adam O'Brien, you would say he's under the pump?
No, you would have thought – I mean, he's just done a long-term deal, though, Adam. I mean, I think he's locked in for 3 more years or something. So, you know, I think Adam's reasonably safe at the moment.
I think he's safe.
I don't know. I'm not sure who's under the pump.
Well, while we're talking about coaches, Ricky Stewart seems to be one that even when they do have a lull no one really ever seems to mention Ricky's name.
Yeah.
Well, there's a couple of reasons for that, right? One is Ricky's so embedded in Canberra, in the community.
Yeah, I agree, and so respected
down there that I think we all find it hard to believe the club would part ways with him. The second one is the CEO, Donnie Ferner, it's his best mate, basically. So, you know, they've known each other since high school or even before that. So he's very close to Don. And look, they were in a grand final, 3 years ago now?
Then 19.
Played in the prelim, within the prelim the next year.
Lost to the Storm the next year.
So, I mean, he's had some good recent results, Ricky. And again, I spoke about before, you need a good spine. They lost Fogarty in the preseason. Yeah.
Hodgson.
They lost Hodgson. And it completely changes your side.
Mm.
So, you know, there's some extenuating circumstances there for Ricky.
You can see how desperate they are for different spine, because they started with Elliot at hook on the weekend and bought Starling off the bench. You know, and I do feel a bit sorry for him, because losing your number one halfback, that changes a lot of things, you know, especially in terms of game management. And he's thrown Snyder in there, who I reckon is a solid player. But a lot of kids come into the competition and they get to like 4 or 5 games and they have a little bit of a lull and they come back up. You know, but he's a really good player. I think he's a bit of more of a 5'8", you know, so he's just trying to do a job there, which he's been pretty good. They just can't finish off second halves. They're up 20-12 at half time. You know, and I honestly don't know how the Warriors won.
I would say the other thing Ricky's got in his favour is he's got some allies in the media who, you know,
some of your mates, well and truly on his side.
Name them.
He's been very, Ricky's got some really good friends in the media.
So if, for example, the Raiders happen to get the wooden spoon, Ricky Stewart still keeps his job, would you put money on that?
I think he does. Yeah. I think the results also recent, like, you know, 19 grand final, 20
they have to count.
Prelim final, that means he can coach, you know, and he's missing a lot of troops too. You know, I think he's in the same boat as Adam O'Brien in terms of missing players. And plus, you're right, he bleeds green. Yeah, he just lives it. So he'd be safer.
I think they'd be more likely to overhaul the dressing room than to get rid of Ricky. I think, you know, that's how embedded he is in that footy club and how much support he's got down there. And Donnie came out today, Donnie Ferner, and spoke to our man Mick Chamis and gave Ricky a resounding support. So, you know, I don't think Ricky's going anywhere.
He's one of those coaches I reckon I would have loved to play. I never got to play under him.
Why is that?
He just seems passionate, you know, and looks like he cares about everything. And I don't know, when coaches care, it makes me feel more, you know. Okay.
Nice.
I would love to play.
Like you care about this podcast. Makes me want to be involved more.
Oh, I care about him more than you.
Time to up the involvement from coaches under pressure to a journo under pressure to deliver some good mail.
Read about it. Read about it. Reedy's mail.
All right, time to deliver, Reedy. We had a nervous moment on Friday night with that Carl Lawton tackle on Cam Murray. Thank goodness Cam is okay. Carl Lawton's going to get 4 weeks with the early guilty plea.
Yep. I've been out with Cam Murray this morning.
You've been out with him? What did you have, a coffee date?
Caught
coffee
up with date. Cam Murray this morning. Sorry.
Where were you
always,
this morning?
We're always researching for the segment, trying to get some mail. So obviously we ask Cam Murray about the incident and about Carl Lawton. Carl Lawton had reached out to him on social media. Cam Murray's replied to him. Basically said to him, mate, there's not an issue between us. I know it was an accident. You know, basically, hope you're well. Don't worry about it. You know, this is footy, so on and so forth. So, I mean, you know, I think
that's nice.
Yeah, I think Cam Murray's moved on. I think Cam acknowledged there was no intent in it. He harbours no grudge. There's no ill will. And, you know, he wouldn't comment on whether he thought it was a send off or not. He said, look, that's for referees to decide whether it's a send off or not. But just know I've got no hard feelings towards Carl Lawton out of this. And I hope he comes back soon and plays really good footy. So nice from Cam Murray. He's a class act, Cam Murray.
Yeah, he is, yeah. And that's why he's captain. He's a good leader. But I like that from Lawton. You know, reach out. Nothing. Apart from getting the technique wrong, there was no malice in it.
So the other thing I found intriguing at South this morning, we talked about Adam Reynolds going up against South. Benji might be able to weigh in on this.
Mm.
So he and Cody Walker will be directly opposite each other, right?
Yeah. They would every day at training.
Will they get into each other?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. Cody might get into Renault, but Renault doesn't take any of it. You know, he just avoids all that stuff. But he's pretty good at it, Renault.
But if you said something to Cody, that'd get under his skin. Yeah. He's pretty hot-headed.
But Renault wouldn't, I don't reckon. That's not in his sort of makeup. I would. I would love to get into Cody.
Would you?
Oh yeah, he fires
up very easily.
Yeah, but I don't know. He's used to me now. Well, he doesn't buy into what I say anymore.
Because Adam can be a bit chirpy, can't he?
Nah, Adam, mate, he doesn't say a word.
Doesn't he pinch blokes and stuff?
Oh, only people he knows.
Okay, well he knows Cody Walker.
Well, I got Jai Arrow on the show tonight, and him and Adam used to have coffee every morning, like an hour before training, and they were like bum chums. Seriously,
really? They're on the same side, aren't they?
Yeah.
Well, so, before round one. That's obviously, right. Renault didn't play. I called him out.
Yeah. I want to get Renault to call him out tonight.
Going
to
run straight at him and take his head off. Nice. But then, unfortunately, Renault got COVID, so it didn't eventuate.
Speaking of halfbacks, we caught up with Jackson Hastings after the game.
Segway.
Now, interesting. Jackson Hastings going up against Manly this week. The club's put him on. They've gagged him. They're saying it's just he's been gagged.
Sorry.
Basically, they're saying it's because he's done too much media lately. He has done a bit of media lately, Jackson. He's quite a good media talker. So I don't.
He hasn't done more than his required allocation. Yeah.
Anyway. I don't think I'm talking out of school here because I was having a chat with him.
So you broke the rules and spoke to him.
Well, I know him from Manly. You know, I know him when he was at Manly, and always found
off
him
the record too. He spoke to him.
Always found him a really good bloke.
Oh, this is one of his readers off the record chats.
Like, can I say it's understood that Jackson?
Yeah,
he's got no look. I think it's pretty clear. He's got no issue with DCE. Mm. He's got no issue with Manly. So people will try to build this up as a grudge match, but in terms of Jackson Hastings' mind, there's no issue with Dally Cherry Evans. You know, even though everything that happened in the past, there's no issue with Manly. His issues were with other parts of the organisation, which have now gone.
Yeah, so, but he's also come out and said he needed to grow up too. Yeah. He needed the time away as well, you know, which I think is big of him. Mm. But I think he's done that. He's done a great job with that. Yeah. And talking about the media stuff, I reckon he's probably given a real positive light to a negative story that the Tigers had until he came back.
Yeah.
And like talked about losing's not good enough and wrapped up Brooksy and looked after his teammates, you know. So it's a completely revamped Jackson Hastings to me.
How do you think the likes of Daly Cherry Evans feel towards Hastings?
Well, Buzz got Daly a couple of Sundays ago and Daly was pretty positive about Jackson, said he was happy to see him back and happy to see him going well. So, you know, it was a couple of years ago now. It was obviously pretty ugly and messy.
I used to lie
to
journos all the time too, though.
Did you?
Yeah, especially you.
Oh.
Well, what player, like a player of Cherry's calibre and a Kangaroo's captain. He's not going to come out and bag a bloke in the paper.
Well, he might do. You never know.
No, he won't.
Okay, mate, yeah, you won't enough. Find no. many players come out and bag players anymore.
No, that's true. That's sad, isn't it? We tried to get him to bag Adam Reynolds this morning, but no one would be up for it.
Yeah.
Actually, AJ had a bit of a shot.
Yeah. You've got to get Alex those guys. Johnson, yeah. He said, Cookie. You should have got Cookie.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't available.
Okay. Ring him.
Alex Johnson had a bit of a jab.
Did he?
He was all right, yeah.
Right.
Cookie's funny, actually, in media. He cracks a joke quite often.
Mm.
Yeah.
Not with me, Em.
Anyway, maybe you've got to ask good questions.
Right. Anyway, lastly,
what else you got?
Lastly, another half, Kieran Foran. There was a lot made Sunday. There was a story about Josh Schuster wanting to play 5'8 and what ramifications that would have for Kieran. You know, I just reached out to Kieran to find out whether there was any issue on his end about it all. And I'll tell you what, Kieran Foran is one of Josh Schuster's biggest fans. Like, loves him, loves the way he plays the game, loves him as a bloke. And I don't think the Schuster situation will have any ramifications for Kieran Foran at Manly in terms of the future, because Kieran's off contract at the end of the year.
But surely if they're getting pressure from Schuster's manager, does that affect whether or not they give Kieran another year?
No, well, that doesn't matter though. No. It's up to the coach.
And I don't think that's coming from Schuster. I don't think Schuster's stamping his feet down saying, I want to play 5'8".
Is that awkward for Schuster if his teammates?
Well, Foss said they didn't even talk about it. They didn't even discuss it.
No.
The boys still know that his manager's gone to say something.
Oh, they would be joking about it behind the scenes.
They'd be giving it to him,
yeah,
wouldn't they?
Josh Alloway's there. 100% he's bringing that up. And Schuster's like his little son there.
Yeah.
So 100% he'll be bringing it up. But, like, seriously, Schuster's be the biggest 5'8 in the world.
Well, I think the issue,
is that still his?
The issue for Kieran isn't Schuster. The issue's the salary cap at Manly.
Yeah,
and whether they can afford to give him an offer that justifies or reflects the way he's playing at the moment. I mean, he's playing really good footy.
You're only worth whatever they want to pay you, really.
Well, and I'm sure other clubs, if they can't afford to pay him decent money. The way he's going, other clubs will come in for him. So his manager, Chris Orr, is looking around for him at the moment, trying to generate interest. You know, I think Foz is happy to sit back and let Chris do his job. And then
he loves Desi, right?
Oh, I love so him. He loves Manly.
Wouldn't you, just a suggestion, if they're happy to extend you, but they don't have a lot of money. I mean, Benji did that. You did the last couple of years.
Thanks
you,
for that, yeah.
I'm just, you didn't play for as much as you previously earned.
In the last
but,
4 years, yeah.
So, well, wouldn't you just, if,
well, it depends
if
on
they've
his
got a deal.
It depends on the difference in terms of what you can get and what you're being offered. It depends on his financial situation. I mean, Kieran's had a separation in his life. So, you know, that always leads to, you know, erode some of your cash. So it depends on you know, all that sort
also,
of stuff.
Also, like, you got to consider where you're going to play your best footy too, or where you're going to be happiest as well. That's a big part
of it. Well,
that's
Manly.
Especially
for
at that part of your career, you know, I think.
I mean, look, in an ideal world, he stays at Manly on a two-year deal. That's the dream, right? That's his dream. But, you know, it's probably going to depend on Manly's situation. As I said, they're really tight. When you look at that salary cap, you got Daly on huge money, Tommy on huge money, Jake on huge. They're all on massive money.
They're going to have to upgrade a few kids too.
Yeah, Ola Cowart's out. Schuster. They got the young kid at the Tigers coming next year, Tuilagi.
Yeah, Tuilagi.
Looks a good player.
He's that so Tolu good. Kula, I wonder when he's off as well.
He was good.
Kola.
He was really good, wasn't he? Yeah. Wasn't he aggressive?
Defensively. Oh, my God. Yep. Reminded me of when I used to tackle.
His shoulders stayed together, Bench.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
it's true. They used to call me Rattlesnakes. Oh, mate. Seriously. Everyone used to call me Rattlesnake Shoulders.
How many ops did you get?
Oh, five. Five Ricos,
Wow.
Yeah, that's another story.
Well, you have arthritis for that? Can you lift your arms?
I've got it now, yeah.
Can you lift your arms?
Yeah, I can lift them up. They just don't stay up there that long. That's why I can't go on like SAS and all those shows. I wouldn't laugh and people would think I'm like, meow.
Mate, Sam did it with a bunk shoulder. Sam won it with a bunk shoulder.
Mine's worse than his.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
He carried on though. Yeah.
Speaking of carrying on, you tend to, but that was good news.
No,
I
that
think
was
that was good
really
mail.
Good
I liked
you.
That.
Most
one of your
on
best.
Ever.
One of your best. We'll check the clicks during the week. I think that'd be right up there. Speaking of right up there, Melbourne and Penrith, would you say now it is a race in two for the 2022 Premiership?
Well, right now it is, but, you know, it only takes one injury and everything gets turned on its head. But as it stands
well,
right now.
Well, that's not a headline.
So, okay.
It seems like it is, though.
It like, feels like
if
it is,
you look
yeah.
at the way the two teams are playing, I think at the moment, though, Melbourne are flying, like everyone can see the way they're playing, and Penrith are going a little bit under the radar. Yeah, like no one's really talking about Penrith as much as what they're talking about the way Melbourne are going.
They play in 2 weeks.
I know.
Magic round.
That's what I was just about to say.
How good's that going to be?
It's going to be a hectic game.
Penrith have a tough, they've got Eels this week. I mean, I know the Eels got pumped, but Eels and Storm, tough fortnight.
Yeah, it will be. But I actually reckon on the day, like last year, for example, right, everyone thought it was going to be Melbourne-Penrith. Then South beat Penrith first semi, and they got to go to the other side and play each other. All it takes is on the day. But the way the teams are going, I think it is.
Yeah. Are we all up at Magic Round for that game? Are you going up, Benj?
I'll be there.
Reedy, are you going?
Yeah, I'm going, yeah.
Where are you staying?
Somewhere. Somewhere nice.
I think Reedy's staying at
Sofitel.
The flashiest joint in town.
Oh, I heard.
Okay.
I think
you've
got some assistance in getting that across the line.
Well, when you're the most clicked on journo in all of Sydney, that's what happens.
Okay. Please. You're obviously getting clicks because I don't know if you did the rundown, but your segment
I've
this week was
up again.
You've jumped above.
First thing I saw.
Benji.
That's because you rate higher.
Time for this.
Benji Marshall.
Benji Marshall. Oh, Marshall's Law.
Benji, what was your key takeaway from the weekend?
Oh, there was a couple. First, sometimes you got to put your hand up when you're wrong. And the first part is the Cowboys. I said they were going to finish last.
Did you tip them for the spoon?
I think I did.
I did. But
did
you know what? I'm happy to eat my own words and say I was so wrong. And the reason I chose them last year, or off the back of last year, is because they're the worst defensive team in the competition, right? Now, sitting exactly now, they're the best in the competition defensively, which is a massive turnaround and a credit to Todd Payton and his team, Dean Young, the defensive coach up there. But there was a couple of things from their game on the weekend. Scott Drinkwater, seriously, like his couple of his try assists on the weekend. I don't know if you saw the first long ball he threw to Kyle Felt. It was just like over the defensive line. It was so flat. It was so nice. It was actually one of those moments where I was like, that's good footy, you know, and I don't know what they're going to end up doing with Drinkwater because of the hammer coming back or whatever's going to happen, but I reckon if you're Redcliffe, Tigers, Bulldogs, or someone who needs to score points, and I think I've said it before,
I'd be chasing
Drinkwater.
Well, you know, he was offered to Melbourne. When Melbourne were offered Jake Arthur, a couple of weeks ago, they were offered Jake Arthur, Kieran Foran, and Scott Drinkwater.
No way.
Potentially replace Munster down the track. But I think Melbourne said, we're not letting Munster go. So.
Okay. Well, right. Anyway, I think Drinkwater is a gun. And the way the Cowboys are going, I was wrong.
Would you keep the hammer on the bench?
Oh, you find a place for him. He's in the 17 somewhere, but the way they're playing, it's hard to put him in the spot. And sometimes that happens in teams. And
you just don't change a winning formula.
It means you got good depth.
Well, their wingers are going good too.
Yeah,
I mean, Kyle felt
Talangi as well too. Yeah. You know, and you can't. Peter Hicku and Valentine Holmes are playing the best they've played. You know, so that's good. But anyway, the second part of what I wanted to say was, I actually get a little bit feel sorry for David Fifita. You know, like a lot of people are bagging him because of his pay packet and what he's worth and what he's delivering. But from my point of view, and I've played, is you're worth what a club wants to pay you. So the fact that he's getting paid so much, that's because the club wanted to pay him that much, right? And if you're paying him that much, then it's your job to get that out of him.
Mm.
And I know he's copping a lot of the blame because he looks disinterested, but the last few weeks he's played back row, they moved him to centre, they put him on the bench, and now they're asking him to do all different things. There's no consistency in the way he's getting used. For me, I just think, you know, when your spine's getting beaten and your forward's getting beaten, he can't just get the ball and do it himself. And when he has, he scored tries off it, but yet he gets judged because of the money he gets paid. And that's just been one of my biggest irks for a while, you know. And I know a lot of people have been on his case. I just sort of, you know, wanted to back him up a bit and feel a little bit sorry for him because I think, you know, there's a lot of potential there and they just need to find a way to get it out of him. And sometimes that goes two ways. I get it. I know both parties need to probably get it right, but he's copping a lot of flack for it.
And to make things worse, he just did his MCL.
Mm.
So he's out now for a month. So it's tough. That. He's copping it. He's injured.
He did that when they scored their try.
Yeah.
He made the run and threw this mad offload and they kicked in the corner to score. And then off the back of that, you know, he was only on for 7 minutes when that happened. And yet everyone judged him off the next however long he was on until he went off. You know, so I think it's a bit unfair.
I spoke to Billy Slater about him last week. And Billy said he'd like to see him find ways to inject himself in a game a bit more, go looking for the ball, and make things happen himself. Do you?
Well, I saw, what about the part where he went to dummy half? He's not a dummy half, but to go and scoop from dummy half, he scores down the right edge. Or when he gets the ball one out and beats five players and goes and scores. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's part of the problem though, right? When he does that, we see him do that and we go, man, he should be doing that every time he touches the ball.
Yeah,
that's an unrealistic.
Well, you can't do that because
it's unrealistic.
Okay, also, your opposition expects Fifita to be doing things like that, right? So they're aiming up on him.
Mm.
Like if he does that a few weeks, your opposition the following week, surely he's on the tip sheet.
No, I understand what Billy's saying about getting involved a bit more, and that's probably a part where you can improve on. But there's also, you know, ways to use him instead of just throwing the ball and saying, "Here, do your best." Yeah, square up the defenders, put them one on one with people. All I'm saying is I just feel a little bit sorry for him for the heat he's copping.
You're right though, Benji. It's not his fault he was paid that money, but that club made some poor decisions where they paid Dave huge money and they did nothing about their spine. And again, I keep coming back to it, the spine. That spine cannot win a comp. They'll struggle to make the top eight the way they're going. And it's fine to go and get Dave because he's a statement signing, Dave, because, you know, he's great mates with Tino, he's great mates with AJ Brimson.
Yeah.
So the view was you get Dave there, that helps you keep Tino, helps you keep AJ, you sign a really good footballer. But when you make that decision, you invest that much money and then you in Dave, it stops you investing money where you really need to invest it, which is in your spine.
They're lacking a hooker as well at the moment, you know, and they're chopping and changing. They played Will Smith at 5'8 on the weekend. You know, I think they're trying to find consistency, but they're changing a lot that's inconsistent.
Mm.
So their spine's changed, the fullbacks have changed, everything's changing. That's what happens.
Yeah.
Anyway. Just feel sorry for him.
Do you know him well?
Not really.
No.
But I see everything that's said about him.
Yeah.
And I can understand.
It's hard to ignore. And he'd be seeing that too. You can't.
Yeah, I think so.
Players always say they, even if you don't watch the TV or read the papers, you see it on social media.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm. Hang in there, brother.
Benji's got your back, Dave.
No, just.
At least someone does. Not like Reedy throwing.
Well, you know what? I always find it difficult to feel sorry for a guy.
No, you don't have to.
No, it's not.
And, you know, earning $1.2 million a year to
they're
play football.
They're humans, though. I know just that. Just because they're earning lots of money.
But you got to ultimately, he's got to go home at night, sit back and go, you know what, my life's not too bad. I might be copping a bit of flack, but life's pretty good.
You know what's funny, though, in teams when you play? No matter what you're on, and no matter what anyone else has paid, you'll judge yourself the same.
Mm.
You know, and you'll expect the best from everyone. You know, so for me, it doesn't matter if you're the lowest paid or the highest paid player. I judge everyone the same.
Yeah.
In performance.
Yep.
Yeah, so.
That's fair.
But that's okay. That's your job to do that. I don't have to do that.
Anyway, I think next week Marshall's Law goes ahead of Reedy's Mail again.
No, we're changing it every week just okay, for the people.
Sorry. We're flip-flopping
okay.
it.
Yeah. Okay.
Flip-flop.
So
you're
tonight,
not in charge of the run sheet anyway. Charlie's.
That's our great producer, Charlie. So tonight we've got Reno and Dry Arrow.
Dry Arrow, yeah.
Dry Arrow on the show.
No. Sorry, Ben Hunt.
Oh.
Ben Hunt and Dry Arrow.
He's a bit mad, Joy, isn't he?
Well, yeah. He has to be.
Yeah, he's had a tough couple of weeks.
Yeah, we shouldn't have kicked the field goal.
Apparently he's a very good field goal kicker.
Yeah.
Mate, I don't know if you watched the game on the weekend. He was doing the dropouts.
Was he?
On the repeat sets, he was kicking them out. Yeah, have a look. He kicked them 45 on the full, he told me.
Apparently he can absolutely nail them.
No, he's one of the best I've seen. I reckon he's the third best kicker in the team before Cody Walker. I reckon it goes...
Latrell?
No, Ilias first, Blake Taff, Latrell, Jai, then Cody.
Wow.
There we go.
It's all Latrell today.
Any mail?
No, he wouldn't talk to me.
He's like,
tried my best.
Did you ask?
He's getting Latrell, his passport stamped.
Can you give me 2 minutes, Latrell? I just want to ask about going to America.
Yeah, he's giving you nothing.
He said, no, bro.
Or the story that you broke.
Yeah. Yeah, me and Pete Bedell.
Good story, though.
Great work, Reedy. We'll read your stuff in the telly. We'll see you tonight on Fox League, and we'll see everyone else next Monday on the Monday Scrum.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.